Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Revelation, chapter 17. We'll read verses 15 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Revelation, chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. Revelation 17, verses 15 through 18. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Quite obvious already this morning, your presence is here. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We stand before you needy. We stand before you sinners. And Lord, we need your book preached to us so that we could be more like you, reach more people for you. Please help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I preached this sermon strategically to help us to start our year out right and well. It is somewhat traditional at the beginning of any new year that the folks in our country tend to set some new goals and try to push the reset button in regard to the fulfilling of their dreams and desires and their potential. Two Sundays ago, I think, on a Sunday morning, I preached a sermon about our achieving, setting, and accomplishing goals. Today is not as, this sermon is not as much about goals as it is about the quality or the effort that is put into the fulfilling of those goals. There are so many different ways that the sermon can and will apply to us here in this room. It'll have something to do with your organizational ability. It'll have something to do with your proper use of your life, which is your time. It'll have something to do with living a full life. I hope you'll listen this morning. We read together a moment ago from Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. Look at it again there, if you will. The Bible says, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Fulfilled. Look back at me, if you will, please. Twice you see here in one passage of Scripture the word fulfill or fulfilled. That is the title of my sermon, Fulfill. One word, Fulfill. It says here in the Scripture that God wants us to fulfill his will. To fulfill would mean to fill full. Let me say it again. To fulfill means to fill full his will. God has a will for you, and he wants you to put everything necessary into that will that it is filled full. Now, let me see if I can better illustrate it to you. I'm going to allow this jar, it's a pickle jar, I'm going to allow that jar to be the will of God for your life or for my life. God wants us to fill full his will. Now right now, it tends to be a bit empty, but just so all of you know, God has a will for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You're alive for a reason, and that reason is not just merely to eat pizza and donuts. There's more to it than that. So God has a will for your life. And God wants you to fulfill that will. Let me show you. He wants it filled up, and I have some golf balls here that we're going to use to fill up our jar. Oh, no. We're going to fill it all the way up. There we go. Now, I'm sure you would agree, we have filled full the jar. There are some big responsibilities of life, and God wants us to fulfill them. And as you look at that, let me ask you, does it look like it's full?
Sure.
Full of golf balls. I borrowed those golf balls, and truth is, I know who they belong to, and hardly ever are they in a hole, and so this is... But wait a minute. As we look at that, it looks like it's full. But I also have here some marbles. Let's put some marbles in our will of God. Look at that. That which we felt was quite full, we're able to add some more to it. Isn't that amazing? There we go. Now, again, as far as the top brim of that thing, pretty full. We can work that a little further. We won't have to, but that jar seems to be filled full. But wait a minute. I have some BBs. Now let's put some BBs in here. Look at that. Well, so the golf balls wasn't full, and the marbles, it was not full. Now we put some BBs in. And we're trying to fill full the will of God in our life, because that's what He wants, and you understand the concept there. Now it seems to be full. Well, at first we thought it was full of golf balls. But then when we put the marbles in there, we thought it was full because it had the golf balls and the marbles in it. But now we put the BBs in there, and it seems as if it's full now. But wait a minute. I have here some sand. And that's where these golf balls feel very comfortable. I'm just really shocked that these golf balls, because again, I know who they belong to, that they're not green. You say, why would anybody want green golf balls? So they could be seen in the sand trap. And there we've got some sand. We put that in here. Because we're trying to fill full our potential. We're trying to fill full the will of God. We're trying to fill full our responsibilities of life. And so we put that sand in there. And I would say we're seeming pretty full there. Oh, good. Well, look at that. It's full. But wait a minute. I have here a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And this isn't just a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. This is called the Great One. It's a big old cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And now, there we go. And once again, we come to the top of the jar, and it seems full. Now, I'm going to set... Well, in life, as Christians, you and I are supposed to want to do all that we are supposed to do. We should want to do all that we're supposed to do. And if you don't want to do all you're supposed to do, you're lazy. God didn't intend any Christians to be lazy. But, you know, too many of us are too easily satisfied with our accomplishments. We're satisfied with just the golf balls of life. You see, many, there's some you can't even get them to do the golf balls of life. You say, what's a golf ball? Those are the big duties of life. Oh, those are the duties that may make you more popular or more famous, or they may look good, or whatever the case, or they're just the big duties of life. Now, some won't even do those. But sometimes we'll fill our life with the big things and think, well, then I've fulfilled my duty as a Christian, or I have fulfilled my duty as a husband or as a wife, or I've fulfilled my duty as a as a Sunday school teacher. But all we had put into our life were the big duties of the golf balls. But I want you to realize something. Life has different sizes of responsibilities. And we should fill full God's will, fill full our responsibilities. And you don't fill full your responsibilities by just doing the big things. You see, when we only do the big things, we are falling short, because there are middle-sized things and smaller things and even yet smaller things in life that need to be done and that can be done. If all we do are the big things, then we have fallen short of fulfilling the will of God for our life. And then there are some, they spend all their time on the little things. They don't get to some of the big things. And again, we have fallen short of fulfilling the will of God for our lives. And filling full our potential. And filling full our responsibilities. As I've already said, every father should listen to me today. Every mother should listen to me today. Every husband, every wife, every person that owns a business. If you'll listen to what I say today, I can help you to strengthen your business and help it to go to new heights. If you'll just listen to what I say about this word fulfill. Fulfill or fill full. I want you to have a full and rewarding life. There are many people that are just unfulfilled today. Lots of people in life, Christians, that are unfulfilled. And as you listen to me teach this morning, you're going to figure out why you feel like you've got these gaps in life. You don't feel like you're getting things done that ought to be done. And you're not accomplishing. You're not where you wish you would be. And I hope none of us are where we wish we'd be, because I hope there are new horizons and new heights to which we want to climb. But they ought to be a little more fulfilling than it is for some of you. You feel like there are these big empty gaps in your marriage, and empty gaps with your children, and empty gaps in your life, and empty gaps in your ministry. And it may be because you're doing the big things, but not the little, or you're doing the little things, and you don't feel like you're going forward because you're not accomplishing the big things in life. And I want you to be fulfilled in life. And God wants you to fulfill His will, which means He wants you to fill full your potential. Fill full your responsibilities. Fill full the will of God in your life. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 3. Again, by way of introduction, let me show you Matthew chapter 3. When you arrive there, find verse number 15. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 15. If you found it, listen as I read now. The Bible says this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Do you know what made Jesus Christ the perfect Son of God, the sinless one? He fulfilled God's will, which meant he filled full the expectation upon his life by the God of the universe. That's what made him the one that was all righteous. Now, notice here, Jesus came to John to be baptized. Now, so you know, Jesus was not a sinner. So Jesus, he didn't have to get saved. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a picture of obedience that one is supposed to take. And here we see Jesus comes to John the Baptist to get baptized. And John said, Jesus, you should be baptizing me instead of me baptizing you. And Jesus said, I must do this to fulfill. To fulfill. Jesus said, this may, John, this may not seem like a big deal to you, but I've got to do this because I want to do the big things, the middle-sized things, the little things. I've got to do all things that God wanted me to do for me to fulfill the will of God for my life as the Son of God. Jesus was saying, whether it be a big thing, like getting up out of the grave at resurrection time, or just an obedience of being baptized, and I think baptism, I'm not trying to minimize baptism, but I'll tell you this, in regard to baptism compared to a resurrection, I don't know. Now, in Jesus' life, he had to fulfill it all to be the perfect, sinless Son of God. But I'm just here to say, Jesus said, I must do this to fill full God's expectation on my life. And if you will, let me talk to you this morning about that very concept, that very truth. Again, we call the sermon Full Fill, or Fill Full. Number one, let me say as a pastor, I want to fulfill God's purpose and plan for this ministry and this church. Again, I want you to quickly take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. You turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I say to you that God wants us to fulfill His will for our lives. Fulfill our potential. Fulfill our responsibilities. And I've presented to you the thought that as a pastor, I want to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our church. Notice here in 2 Timothy 4:5, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a pastor, and he says, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now look back at me, please. Paul, the seasoned veteran of the ministry, is talking to Timothy, a young pastor, a man pastoring a New Testament church. And he says, now Timothy, I want you to have a full ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. I want you to have a ministry that's filled up with good things and filled up with right things. My goal for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is that we fulfill the will of God for this church. God has a will for this church. Now, here's what happens to us. Some of you, you look at the church, and you look at what I do, and the golf balls are important to you. And then there are others that the marbles are important to you. And there are others, the BBs are important to you. There are others that the sand is important to you. And some of you, you get on a little BB kind of an idea, and you say, that BB's important, and we got to have that BB. And I got to have that BB, and that BB better be in the church. If that BB's not in the church, I'm going to be mad at the church. Let me tell you something. I got sand to take care of. I've got golf balls to take care of. I've got marbles to take care of. I got a cup of coffee to take care of while we're at it. I get it from every angle, though. I mean, I've got somebody that's griping because they don't have enough sand. Got somebody else griping because they don't have enough golf balls. I got somebody griping because they don't have enough marbles. I told my son Jeff, we were having a conversation one day, I said, there are those who make a big deal out of little things. Listen, all of it's important.
Yes, sir.
All of it's important. And we want to fulfill God's purpose for our church. Just so you understand, my responsibility as a pastor, number one, you got to understand, I am to stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God to you. I'm to be prepared to preach to you. Nothing is to take priority over me preaching the Word of God here. That's one of the big marbles. That's a big marvel. I am to preach the word. You can check all you want the responsibility of a pastor in the Bible. You will not specifically find that a pastor is supposed to know the churchyard. But you will find out that a man of God is to stand in the pulpit and he is to preach the word of God. And I do not mean this arrogantly. I do not let other things take the place of me preparing to feed you a meal on Sunday morning that is worthy of your eating. If this were a restaurant, I'm trying to give up all the steak and all the food that will make you healthy and strong. But you have to understand something. There's more to it than just that. Now, but I've got big responsibilities, like the preaching, like the praying. I pray for this church, and I pray that the power of God rests upon this church. Now, those are big things, and they are important. But wait, I will not totally fulfill the will of God if all I do is preach and pray. But those are big things, and they've got to be done. They're big events. But I'll tell you this. I also believe over at Martinsburg Christian Academy, we have elementary cheerleaders. I think we had this year 5 different groups of elementary cheerleaders. Let me tell you something. That's important to me too. I was in on when we went to pick the outfits and making sure they were of right quality and make sure that those girls have an opportunity to lift the spirit of the school and lift the spirit of the boys. And listen, you say, well, that's not the big thing. No, it's not. But it's a part of fulfilling. Fulfilling. I think it's a big deal that I preach the word, and a big deal that I spend time in prayer with God so God's hand can be upon the preaching that takes place around here. But it's also a big deal to me, though not as big, choir. I like it at cantata time when our men get to wear ties that are all matching. Now that's not as big as standing here and preaching the word of God without apology. That's not as big, but it's a part of it. I want, in my preaching, to meet the needs of the mature adult that's in this auditorium and the 4-year-old that's in this auditorium. Our church services and their organization is very important to me. When we do something in here, and Brother Nash and those that help me with the organization of these church services, I want them done right. I want it done right. The ushers know that. The choir knows that. The men on this platform know that. I don't think God's business ought to just be thrown together at the last moment and we just hope everything turns out. No, it ought to be done right. God's business is the biggest business in the world, and if it's going to be done, it ought to be done right. It ought to be done right. No Hollywood production ought to be put together better than the things of God. And that's important to me. But let me tell you also, it's important to me that the restrooms are clean. That's important to me. A counseling appointment to save a marriage, that's big to me. But it's also important and a part of the will of God that if I counsel an 8-year-old that's afraid of the dark, that I spend some time and help them not to be fearful of the dark. Fulfilling properly means doing the big, the medium size, and the little, and doing it all so you fill up your life with the right and good things. Hey, our church, we are allowed to influence the nation with an East Coast Ladies Conference. Well over 100. This year, I think 130-plus churches came to visit us for the East Coast Ladies Conference. Our church has the privilege of influencing the nation with a National Old Pads Conference. But wait a minute. That's big. So that ought to be done right. But let me tell you something. To me, it is also important that our buses go up to a gravel road that turns into a dirt road and a dead-end holler, and we pick up some little poor boys and girls and bring them to church. We want to fill the will of God for our church. And to fulfill it, we've got to do the big things. We've got to do the medium-sized things. We've got to do the small things. And in a way, none of them are small. None of them are medium. They're all just a part of the will of God to fulfill it. Once the jar of the will of God is full, really, it's just a mixture of good things that we're doing to fulfill God's plan for our church. Does that make sense to all of you? That's what we're supposed to do. So I say to you, number one, as a pastor, I want to fulfill God's purpose and plan for this church. Number two, let's fulfill God's will in our spiritual lives. Let's fulfill God's will in our spiritual lives. Now, we've seen the illustration of the BBs and the marbles and the golf balls and the sand and the coffee. Now, we've applied it to the church and the church's different ministries and levels of responsibility. Now, let's talk about our spiritual life for a little while. Let's develop all areas of our spiritual lives so we live a full, rewarding Christian life. Let's fulfill God's purpose for us as individuals spiritually. Again, I want you to take your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse number 36. Acts 9, 36. Turn quickly. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 36. And you stay open to the book of Acts because we're going to look at one other verse here in a moment from there. Acts 9, 36 says this. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Look back at me if you will, please. Here we see that word full again. She was full of what? Good deeds. Full of alms deeds. Now, here, understand something, folks. In life, there are some big good deeds that we do. There may be some middle-sized good deeds that we do. There may even be some what we would call little good deeds that we do. But you will never fulfill your spiritual potential at good deeds unless you're willing to do some big ones, some medium-sized ones, and some little ones. You know, there are people...
Well, if I can't have the big golf ball responsibility in the church, then I just don't want to do anything.
Good. If you go ahead and have an empty jar spiritually. But all of us, from time to time, will have to be... But we might have to do a big deed. There might come a time when you're needed to do a medium-sized deed. And there might be a time when you need to do something little. And we ought to do all three with a good attitude and with humility, and we ought to want to do those good deeds. Listen, you look out and you say, well, I can't do a good deed. Someone last night, and I'm so grateful, someone, our cheerleaders had their spaghetti dinner yesterday, and while there, they had some fun over there, and they auctioned off some cakes and pies, and just having fun. Well, somebody bought a picture. It's a very nice picture, and paid hundreds of dollars, and they bought it, and it's a beautiful picture, and they bought it so we could hang it in our new building, and they gave it as a gift to the church. Well, that's a big thing. It was an expensive picture. But you know something? We needed someone to buy that big picture. We also needed somebody to pay $3 for a loaf of banana bread. You say, well, I didn't get to give that great big gift, but not all the time is it that we're going to be able to give a great big gift. But we ought to give what we can give. If it's a little bit, or a medium-sized bit, or a big bit, here it says that she was full of good works. And let me tell you something, that does not mean she did a couple of great big good works. It means that she did some big good works, some medium-sized good works, some little good works. She is fulfilling her potential at doing good deeds. That makes sense? We've got to learn to fulfill or fill full. Now, let me show you another verse. Acts chapter 6, verse number 5. I ask you to stay open to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6, verse number 5. You see something said about a man here by the name of Stephen. Acts 6, 5. It says this, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Full of faith. And of the Holy Ghost. Now, look back at me if you will, please. I'm saying to you, let's fulfill God's will for our spiritual lives. Let's fulfill God's will in regard to our good deeds and the things that we do. And here it talks about being full of faith. You've got a container. And it's a, we'll call it your faith container. And God wants you to fill your faith container. He wants you to fulfill it or fill it full. That doesn't always mean it's going to be some big event in life. You see, you need to learn to believe God for the big things. Some of you right now, you need to get a hold of God, and you need to beg God, and you need to have faith in God, and you need to believe God for something that's big. I preached a sermon last Sunday morning entitled, What to Do when the problem's bigger than you. You need to get a hold of God and believe God. And it's something big. It seems overwhelming. You don't know how you'll handle it. You don't know how you'll take it. You don't know what the answer is. Hey, you better believe God. And when you do believe God, that might be some of those golf balls in your faith container. But let me tell you something. Even some of the mid, what we'll call the mid-range needs of life, you need to believe God for those too. You need to believe God for those too. There might be somebody here, you say, Brother Owens, I have lost my job and I don't know how I'm going to do it. How will I pay the bills? It's overwhelming. Where will I get a job? How will I make my mortgage payment? You say, it's just so big. You better believe God and you better keep your faith in God right now. Don't turn on God. Don't run from God. Hey, that might be a golf ball sized problem in life. Now, there's somebody else here today. You didn't lose your job. You got your job. You're able to make your mortgage payment, but you're running short on gas money. You wonder, how am I going to make it? That might be a marble-sized challenge of life. Have faith in God. Have faith in God about that gas money. Have faith in God. Believe God. Listen, there's somebody else here that has a BB-sized need today. Brother Renison preached in men's prayer meeting yesterday morning and did a fabulous job. And he talked about praying about all things. He talked about how he was doing a little work out at his house and how that in doing so, there was a board that wasn't going in place or whatever. It wasn't going into place just right. He said his wife came over and said, honey, well, have you prayed about it? And he said, shut up and leave me alone. I don't need no woman telling me how to do it. But he said, you know something? All it was a little piece of drywall or something that I couldn't get it quite right. But it was such a little thing, I had not prayed. And he said, well, my wife kind of brought me under conviction and she walked away and I said, Lord, help me. He said, in a moment, it fell into place. What is that? Having faith in God for the little things too. If you want to be full of faith, then you must have faith when the big occasions of life arise, and have faith when the mid-sized occasions in life arise, and have faith when the little issues of life arise. You won't fulfill a life of faith over just the big things, or over just the little things. We're going to fulfill faith in our lives. Take your Bible one more time and turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Luke 4, 1, the Bible says this. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. I could, and look back at me if you will, please. I could show you time and time again where the Bible talks about people being filled with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Ghost or the fullness of the power of God. If you want to fulfill God's will for your life spiritually, you're going to have to fulfill it in regard to your good deeds that you do with your life. You're going to have to fulfill it in regard to living by faith and believing God. You're going to have to fulfill it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Who are you talking about? There are big issues of life, and we might feel like we need the Spirit of God to help us with those in a bit more of a special way. As the pastor, it is my responsibility and my desire that as I stand and preach, that it is not Jeff Owens speaking, but something is speaking to you deep within, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. That's a big thing to me. Anytime I stand to preach this whole black book, I want to make sure that the Spirit of God is upon me. That's big, but wait a minute. I ought to also make sure that some of those, what we might in our thinking call some of those mid-range responsibilities, I also want the Spirit of God on me while I'm counseling. Now, when I'm counseling in my office, I'm not standing before 800, 900, 1,000 people and talking to all of them at one time and preaching a sermon. But I'm talking to somebody that has a life, and their life is important, and their life is precious to me. And they're asking me to help them make decisions that could make them or break them, that could make the difference of whether they'll be happy or they'll be sad in life. And I've got to have the Holy Spirit then too. But wait a minute. I also want the Holy Spirit of God on my life when I just walk down the hallway and I say, howdy to this person or howdy to that person. Stick my head in some Sunday school classroom and joke with the people a little bit. You see, I want the Spirit of God upon me if I'm doing something big or doing the common thing that requires, whether we believe it or not, the Spirit of God's influence again. You say, I want to know what it is to be fulfilled by the Spirit of God. Then you will have to do the big things in the power of the Holy Spirit, the middle range things in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to learn to do the little things in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you something. For every person under the sound of my voice that has anything to do with serving God in your life, if you can learn to do the big things in God's power, the middle-sized things in God's power, the little things in God's power, you would begin to realize for the first time in your life what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You don't get filled just by saying, well, I want God's power on me while I'm teaching Sunday school. You need it on you on Monday morning when you're driving to work. I won't go into it, but let me say, I said, number one, I said, as a pastor, I want to fulfill God's purpose and plan for the church. I say, number two, you and I ought to want to fulfill God's will in our spiritual lives. We won't take the time again to talk about it, but we ought to fulfill God's will in regard to grace and truth being in our lives. And in John 1:14, it talked about Jesus being full of grace and truth. In other words, a graciousness and then a truth. And there's a combination there, a gracious kindness, but there's a strength, and truth is a strong thing. We need to have both kindness and strength for the big things, and a combination of kindness and strength. A combination of kindness and strength, even for the little things of life. If you want to be full of grace, which is that gentleness and kindness, and truth, which is sometimes truth is quite sharp. Sometimes truth is quite powerful. But God said, I want you to be powerful, but I want you to be good to people. I want you to stand strong, but I want you to love people while you do it. And God said, I want you to fulfill the will of God in your life by learning to stand for what you believe, but stand in a gracious way. I want you to do that on the big things. I want you to learn to do that on the middle-sized things. I want you to learn to do that on the little things. And you can fulfill my will for your life of being full of grace and truth and full of the Holy Spirit and full of good deeds and full of faith. Let me go on. Thirdly, let's fulfill God's will for our marriages. So many times, people enter the relationship of marriage with the plan of doing the big things. The big things. Now, folks, let me tell you, your marriage will survive a while if all you do are the golf ball things. But it won't be long until the other side's going to be wanting some marble things, too. And then every once in a while, the BBs, the sand, and there'll be going to be times when you're going to scratch your head, you know your mate wanted the cup of coffee, and you're going, what's a big deal about that? But you will not fulfill God's will for your marriage unless you're willing to do the big things right all the way down to the little things. And it takes both. You say, what do you mean? Well, keep your vows. It's a big thing. Go to work. Support your wife and the kids. That's a big thing. Meet one another's intimate needs. That's a big thing. Encourage each other. That's a big thing. Forgive. And stay committed. Work it out. Those are big things. But wait a minute. Marriage is just, you know, man, I gotta tell you this. I don't want to pick on us, but I gotta tell you. We get this idea. I went to work. I put food on the table. What more could a woman want? I told you I love you the day we got married. If I change my mind, I'll get back with you, but that ought to be adequate. And ladies, you know what I mean. There's some of you, men, listen, I don't think, I don't know that anybody has this major marital problem. But what happens is we think, well, if I do the big things, then what's the difference about the rest? You will not fulfill marital happiness unless you do the big ones and the mid-sized ones and even what we might consider the small ones. And who knows, something that you consider small may be big to your mate, which ought to make it a bit bigger to you. Those big things of meeting one another's needs. But wait, you need to do some little things too. For instance, like saying, thank you. Thank you for fixing that meal. Thank you for ironing my clothes. Thank you for going out and warming up the car. Thank you for making your mother go home. Thank you. Serving one another. You know, in marriage, it's not a relationship of slavery. It's a relationship of liberty where we help one another. In marriage, sometimes you might find that you say, well, it's not a big thing. It's not a matter of I'm not supporting my family. Yeah, but wonder if we just picked up that for ourselves a little more. So what's the big deal about that? You want to fulfill or you just want to do the big things and then we'll all just survive it instead of enjoy it? Listen, a little love note here or there, a little gesture. You say, well, I'm meeting the need in the intimate relationship. Well, every once in a while, somebody just wants to hold hands. So what's the big deal trying to fulfill the will of God for your marriage? It takes the big things and it takes the smaller things as well. And some of us get a little lazy about it. Don't just live together. Fulfill marital happiness. Fulfill the will of God for your marriage. Fulfill the will of God for your own personal walk with God and spiritual life. As a church, let's fulfill the will of God for this church. I think God has some wonderful things for this church's future. But we're going to have to fulfill it. That means we're going to have to do some of all of it. We're not going to let the little things take the place of the big things, but we won't forget the little things. Let's go on. Hey, number four, let's fulfill God's will for us at work. You know, at work, the big things need to be done. The golf ball issues at your place of employment need to be done. If you're a salesman, let's face it, you're supposed to sell things. If you are someone that is producing something, then you're supposed to produce. If you're supposed to build something, then build. The big things. Hey, being loyal to your boss. I do not understand people who want to go somewhere and work and hate their boss all the time they're there. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying the boss is perfect, but I'm just saying to you, boy, I just don't understand someone wanting somebody else to pay him money to hate him. And the day you're the boss, you'll understand that. The big things at work, the golf ball issues of work, you need to take care of them. But could I tell you something? If you want to fulfill God's will for your work responsibilities, then you're going to have to do some of the middle-sized things too. You're going to have to do some of the little things. What's wrong with you cleaning up after yourself? What's wrong with you helping some other employee? Why are we so wasteful? Well, it's not my job to save this company money. If I throw that away, what's the big deal? It's not just your job to do the big things at work. It's your job to fulfill God's will for you at work. And so, say, well, I was working on a project here at the church, and I think I just saved the church $5,000. Thank God for it. But don't throw my paper clips away either. Help the workplace to be a happier, positive place. You say, it's not my job to make everybody down there happy. You wouldn't work for me long. It's probably best that I'm forced to be nice to everybody. You say, well, that's such a little thing. Really, if you think about it, most people here don't want to be miserable at work. It's really a big thing. They'd like to be able to go produce and be happy while they do it. Yes, organize your work area. Hey, show respect to the boss. That's a big thing. But show respect to the new employee. Fulfill God's will at work. You know, if all we do are the big things, we've fallen short of fulfilling God's will. If all we do are the little things, we fall short. I know people, if they come into work, they think they've done their job. And some of you employers, you know what I'm talking about. I made it! Wow, we're just going to pay you for coming. Some come in, they're productive, but they're a jerk all the time they're there. Hey, Business owners, give attention to the big things of the business. But if you want depth, if you want long-term success, you cannot just give attention to the big things that make big money. You better watch some of those medium-sized, even some of those little things. You know, some of that little customer appreciation and those little bits and pieces right there can make a pretty big difference. Hey, if I could take my truck to have it fixed at two different places and two different qualities of work done on it, but one place was friendly and kind and the other place had a bunch of snobs in it, I'm going to the friendly place. The big thing was getting the truck fixed.
Yes, sir.
But people are looking that there be a fulfillment of right in those that we are around. Are you all with me? Am I up here hanging here and y'all looking at me saying, I'm an idiot? He's got marbles in the sand, and he's lost his marbles, and he's playing in the sand. Let me go on. Let's fulfill God's will with our children. The big things need to be done. As we rear them, we need to teach them to obey. We need to teach them to work hard. We need to teach them people skills so they get along with people, to be on time, to be moral. And yet, we need to do the little things as well. They need to be taught when to laugh. There are some things that we ought not laugh at. Well, we need to teach them, you need to teach them how to dribble basketball. How to dress themselves and to coordinate. And that they really should cover it all. At first, they don't know that stuff. Teach them to make their bed. Our children need to learn from us how to accomplish or fulfill their potential. Folks, if you want depth, if you want fulfillment, we teach them the golf ball issues of life and the marble issues of life and the BB issues of life and the sand issues of life and the coffee issues of life. Life is not made up of five big things and we let everything else go. Not at all. Let's help them to live a full, rewarding life. We've got to teach them to do their best at school, but then their best at work, and then their best at play. They've got to be taught to do their best in public and their best in private. Fulfill the will of God for our lives. Oh, I've got my golf balls up here, so let me give you a little golf joke. Get this. Stay with me now. Take a minute to get there, but once we get there, those of you that are intelligent will laugh, which means everybody will laugh whether they get it or not. Moses, Jesus, and another guy were out playing golf one day. Moses pulled up to the tee and drove a long one. It landed in the fairway but rolled directly toward a water trap. Quickly, Moses raised his club. The water parted and it rolled to the other side safe and sound. Next, Jesus strolled up to the tee and hit a nice long one directly toward the same water trap. It landed directly in the center of the pond and kind of hovered over the water. Jesus casually walked out on the water and chipped it onto the green. The third guy got up and sort of randomly whacked the ball. It headed out over the fence and into an oncoming traffic on a nearby street. It bounced off a truck and hit a nearby tree. From there, it bounced onto the roof of a nearby shack and rolled down into the gutter, down the downspout, out onto the fairway, and right toward the same pond. On the way to the pond, it hit a little stone and bounced out over the water onto a lily pad where it rested quietly. Suddenly, a very large bullfrog jumped on the lily pad, snatched up the ball in his mouth. Just then, an eagle swooped down, grabbed the frog, and flew away. As they passed over the green, the frog squealed with fright. The eagle dropped him. He dropped the ball, and it bounced right into the hole for a beautiful hole-in-one. Moses turned to Jesus and said, I hate playing golf with your dad. The book of Revelation, God said, fulfill. Fulfill. Fill full. We ought to fulfill God's will for this church. We ought to fulfill God's will for our own spiritual lives. We ought to fulfill God's will at work. We ought to fulfill God's will with our children and fulfill. You know, let me tell you something. You take our duties for Christ. The big things need to be done. Church attendance, tithing, prayer, standing for the Bible, standing against the critics. All those things, those are big things. But wait a minute. There are little things around the church that are important too. Like what? Greeting people. Being kind, helping introduce visitors, picking up, you know, I'll tell you something. I wear myself out walking up and down the hallways, picking up little bits of trash that everybody leaves laying around. You know what I think? I think 1,000 people ought to be picking it up and putting it in their pocket if you had any character. We all ought to be picking you up. That's the job. Do you want me to preach, brother? I'll job preach. Pick up a little piece of trash. That's part of fulfilling the will of God for your life as well. Totally. Hey, do us a favor. I want you to give your money. Lots of it. All of it. But could you do us a favor? If you want us to have a proper record of your giving, you need to fill out your tithing envelope thoroughly and well for us. That's a little thing. But it'll help us to help you. Hey, when you leave a room around here, turn out the lights. Turn out the lights. Hey, bus captain, let me tell you something. You've got some big duties on your bus. You say, what is it? Win souls. Fill your bus with people. But wait. There are some medium-sized responsibilities and some little responsibilities. Hey, they ought to have fun on that bus. You ought to be running a program. Any bus captain that's not running a program on the bus where there's singing and fun and all that, you may be doing the big thing, but you're not doing the other things, and the other things are going to determine whether you truly fulfill the will of God about the big things. Drivers, I want you to drive safely. That's a big thing. But I also want you to do your pre-trip inspection. That's important, too. Sunday school teacher, it's a big duty to visit your class and to win souls. It's a big duty to build your class numerically and to teach that lesson. But wait a minute. I also think you ought to have a good atmosphere in class. You ought to have some refreshments and some activities. Nursery worker, nursery directors, big duty, watch those children. Bring comfort and confidence to the parents with your attitude. Little duty, clean up after yourselves. Attention to some of that child's little needs. We don't put the kids in there and the person's not put the kids in there and shut the door and ignore them for 45 minutes so mom and dad come get them. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Choir, it's a big duty. Big duty. What is it? The cantata. That's a big duty. Big duty. Sunday morning, they're special. But wait a minute. How about the little duties of smiling while you sit in the choir? Paying attention. Showing up at practice. Hey, usher, big duty. Take the offering. Absolutely. Pass out those visitor cards. Absolutely. Maybe a smaller duty is paying attention to people coming in needing seats. Solving little problems. Hey, grounds worker, big duty. You mow and you take care of that area. How about the little duty of putting your equipment back where it belongs? How about the little duty of maintaining it and taking care of it as if it's yours? Maybe that's how you're doing it. We prefer that not to happen. But hey, custodial team, big duty to clean where everybody sees you're cleaning. What about where people don't see? Where Jesus sees. The Bible teaches that God rewards those who fulfill or fill full His will. Listen to this. 1 John 1:4 says, "And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." You will be more apt to experience full joy when you fulfill God's daily plan. What is it? It's the big things all the way down to the little things. It's not just the things that get you a bunch of tension. It's not just the big things. You get them off your plate. There's a certain laziness in America where we only want to do what we've got to do. We ought to want to do everything that needs to be done. You can receive full joy from God. You know what full joy includes? Full joy will include some big joys in life. And some little joys in life. I was so, we have a new grandbaby. His name is Caleb. What a joy it is to have a new grandbaby. And that's a big joy. Emergency birth of a baby and he's healthy. But then my granddaughter gave me a little joy the other day. I watched somebody ask her about her new brother, Caleb. She just about had it with his getting all the attention. If you know my granddaughter, she is a bundle of personality. So big joy, Caleb. Little joy, watching Alexandra when somebody said, "How's Caleb?" She went. Did you know you can receive a full reward if you will fill your life with good things? The Bible says in 2 John 1:8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." You'll never lose your salvation once you're saved, but you can lose some reward and you won't have a full reward when you face God. Proper use of your time is in itself rewarding. It removes a lot of frustration from your life. I'm going to tell you why some of you are so frustrated. You only do the big things or you only do the little things. You only look at the big things. You only look at the little things. The devil has some of you so disgusted because all you do is look at one little thing. One little thing, like a pebble in your shoe. You know, not only does God reward with the full reward when He fulfills, when we fulfill our duties, but, you know, bosses do that. Those of you that at work, all you do are the marbles, or all you do are the golf balls, you won't move up as much. You won't have as much job security. You ask any employer, somebody that will do all of it. Boss says, that's the kind of guy I want working for me. I want the guy that once he fulfilled his duties and there's nothing to do, he doesn't stand around for an hour and talk when he could have been cleaning, sweeping. Well, nobody told me to. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to be a lazy bum. I'm not going to pay me anymore. God's the one that determines how much you get anyway, just so you know. Well, the boss didn't see it. Whose boss are you talking about? Your human boss or your heavenly boss? That's enough of that. I don't have any more humor to go past it or after it. Let me say one more thing and I'm finished. A major part of this teaching is time management. I almost went down that path with the illustration, but you know, you need to use the big blocks of time in your life well. Then you need to use the medium spans of time well. Then you need to learn how to use the little elements, the little time spans well. I preached a sermon about a year and a half ago called The Value of 1 Minute. We waste a lot of our life. To fulfill God's plan for your life, you must do the right things, but you also must learn how not to waste your time. You say, Brother Owens, you poured a cup of coffee in there. What's a cup of coffee? What does that have to do with it? Well, busy people will get a whole bunch of things done in life. Whether you think it or not, they still have time to have a cup of coffee with the wife, with the friends. You say, that just doesn't sound rewarding. It is rewarding. Coffee tastes better when you have filled full your life. I promise you. The Bible says to a laborer, bread tastes better. I promise. If you're here today and you've listened to what I've said, it can make all the difference in the success that you will experience in the rest of your life if you will just fill full the things of life.